And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the absolutely gorgeous, spectacular Thursday. What a stretch of weather we're in. You know, this happens a lot. Not every September, but a lot. You get past Labor Day and it just gets perfect. It's not too hot, but you got the sun, you got the blue sky. Nice. And we got quite a stretch of it, as you just heard Tracy say. Perhaps even into the middle of next week we can enjoy this. Wow. Wow. Don't forget to stop and smell the roses. Hey, we have a good show today. We have a number of guests, and we love it when we have a lot of guests. Later, we're going to be chatting with Kathy Dudley and also Justine Brown. Justine's been with us previously. She is one of the great master gardeners from our area. They have a program going at one of our area elementary schools, Butler Catholic, to certify junior master gardeners. So I want to find out what that's all about. So they'll be with us to talk about that. Also, something you've heard in the news, on the national news for several months now, a pending new U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. This would be to replace NAFTA. So what's that all about? We'll talk to Joe Crowley about that a little bit later on the program. All of that later. First, we're going to talk with Mr. 60s. Ron Marowitz is with us here in the studio. Ron, it's always good to see you.
Well, it's good to be here.
You have a special event coming up, not this weekend, but the following weekend, right, here in Butler?
Yeah, Saturday the 14th.
What's happening?
Well, we are doing what we call the Mr. 60s Rock and Roll Oldies All Request Show over at the Tanglewood. And we finally found a little niche to take, you know, put me in a whole different category of DJs. The consensus was, after doing some surveys, that that most DJs play what they want to play, and they'll play a few requests here and there, but they're mostly interested in their collection of music. We do things a little different on those all-request shows. We only play the songs that you want to hear and you want to dance to. And it is a riot. They come with scrolls of music and lists drawn on construction paper, and you name it. And then we have little request slips at the tables at the Tanglewood. And you just put your name on it. You put the song you want to hear, and we'll get it on for you. We did one back in May, and we had a great response. And I'm very proud to say that other than the opening number, every song was all request. I didn't pick one song, and everybody loved it.
You do the same opening number at all your shows?
I use two. I'm adding another one this go round, but I opened it up with the same theme song that I use here on my show. Mm-hmm. It's called In the Mood Mix. And then I have this cute little thing that says, "Please welcome to the stage the last hippie DJ of rock and roll, Mr. 60s.
You can hear Ron, Mr. 60s, here on WISR every Saturday morning, right?
That's the truth, from 9 to 10.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's AM.
When did you start taking on the nickname of Mr. 60s?
Oh, that is it. That's a cool story. I started doing DJ work, and primarily it was in Florida, and I was doing like karaoke gigs.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go see other friends of mine, other DJ friends that were doing the same thing, because it was so hot down in Florida. And, well, this one dear friend of mine, we still stay in touch, he goes by the name of Doc Corey. And when I would come to see him work, he would introduce me And he had, I don't know where he came up, you know, in his sick mind. And I think to be a DJ sometimes you have to be a little sick. And he used to do the Elvis intro. And people would start looking around like, why is he playing this Elvis intro? And he would say, direct from his last engagement, Mr. 60s. And the first time he did that, I was looking around like, who is he referring to? And he'd point at me, and I'd come up there, and I'd sing a couple of songs. So after a while, I figured, well, I'm going to make Mr. 60s profitable. And I started calling myself Mr. 60s. And I told him that one day on the phone. He said, well, when can I start getting my cut? I said, don't count on
that
it, Doc.
Chance, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Chance.
But that's how I became Mr. 60s.
Ron's Rock and Roll All Request Oldies Dance Show, Saturday night. Not this Saturday, but the following one. It'll be September 14th.
September 14th.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe we're almost a week into September already.
Amazing. Wow.
This is a full evening, by the way. You can go to the Tanglewood and have dinner before the dancing, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The doors open at 6, and buffet dinner at 7. The music starts at 8, usually goes to about 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
And Chef George has got something really special planned this go-around. He's doing a stuffed chicken breast, but it's a special apple stuffing.
Oh.
I can't wait for that. And he's doing a vegetable medley and some sort of rice, like a rice pilaf of some sort. And he really went all out on this because, he enjoys it. He just loves what he does. And everybody there, it's just, we got some great dancers, by the way, that not only are members of the Tanglewood, but just the people that that come there. I mean, the dance floor stays packed from the opening number until I'm closing up. And, man, even when people are walking out the door, there's still people on the dance floor.
$20, and that covers the whole thing. That's the
dinner, everything. Dinner and the show and everything like that. So it's quite interesting. We do a 50-50 drawing, and of course, the more people that show up, the bigger the 50-50 drawing is. And we do giveaways, and people can always come up to me anytime during the course of the show or after or before and make sure that they have their Mr. 60s bracelets on. And that's kind of become my trademark.
You get tickets in advance or at the door or both, whatever you want to do.
You can do both. Yeah, you can call the Tanglewood. It's 724-287-0021 and get your tickets in advance. They take credit cards. Or you can get them at the door. Just get there about 6 o'clock and you can get your tickets and your 50-50 tickets and you're good to go.
This is a Tanglewood Entertainment event, and we're kind of assuming that everyone knows where Tanglewood is. It's just off Hanson Avenue here mm-hmm. in Butler. Actually, it's Lindora, but it's Butler, just off Hanson Avenue. And Tanglewood Entertainment is becoming quite the entertainment center, especially over the past year or so. They've really built things up, haven't they?
Yeah, really have. We've had some amazing shows, and it's just been, with a lot of promotion. My buddy Bill Reichert,
mm-hmm.
he's away right now. He's now a grandpa.
Good for him.
Yeah, he just became a grandpa, so he's been spending some time with his grandchild. And that's actually where I met Bill, was at the Tanglewood, when he was doing his show with the Doo-Wop Shop
mm-hmm.
Back a few years ago. And you know, he's one of those guys. I mean, you know Bill. You talk to him for 10 minutes, and he's been your buddy for the rest of your whole life.
True, that's a good way to put it.
And, of course, George is like, we became friends the minute we met.
Johnny Angel and the Halos are going to be speaking of upcoming entertainment at the Tanglewood. Johnny Angel and the Halos are coming in next month.
Oh, man, they are awesome. That's a show, I got to tell you, if you got to come to that show. Musically, they are so tight, and they're just so good. Their singing is awesome. The band is terrific. I haven't seen them in person. You said you've seen them.
I have seen them a couple of times. Yeah.
And, if you ever want to see what they do, they have a couple of YouTube things on the internet, and you just type in Johnny Angel and the Halos, and you can catch a couple of their numbers, and you won't be disappointed.
Great name, too. Of course,
yeah, Johnny Angel.
Taken from the song back in the 1960s,
sure.
Johnny Angel.
Sure. I was hoping that he was like the same guy. Years and years ago when I was working with a band in New York, we worked with a guy. In fact, sometimes we backed him up, a guy by the name of Johnny Angel. And he was an Elvis tribute artist. And I never paid too much attention to it, but he was actually on the payroll with Dick Clark.
American Bandstand.
Yeah, with Dick Clark's organization. As people don't know, Dick Clark owned radio stations, Dick Clark owned record labels and publishing companies and everything. And he had this Johnny Angel on his payroll, and we would get called in because we were a trio. And so it was easy for us to get around and do a couple of shows with him. And he was awesome. I mean, he did a great Elvis, back in the day. And this was while Elvis was still alive. So you had to be pretty doggone good, you know.
That is a ways back.
But I was hoping that this Johnny Angel was the same Johnny Angel, but no, he's not.
It was the past couple of weeks. It was the anniversary of Elvis's death. 42 years ago,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Hard to believe.
It's like 1970-something.
The music remains popular, and it's incredible. We're talking about music mainly from the mid and late 50s into the 60s and 70s. I'm not sure whether the popularity of that music will ever die.
No, I don't think it ever will. I mean, if it does, I'm off the air, but...
Well, it's just it's a variety of stuff. You have early rock and roll, like Bill Haley and the Comets and some others. Elvis, I guess, could be considered early rock and roll.
Sure.
And then they got the doo-wop era, and then all of a sudden it was the British Invasion and all of those great tunes from the 60s.
Yeah.
It was a wide variety.
We have a loyal fan base here in Butler that just love doo-wop. And believe it or not, you know what they're really into? I mean, we did a show at the Tanglewood with all the guys from Branson. It's a band that they put together, and it's called Branson on the Road. Was a sellout show. People love, I can't say the new country, but they love classic country. And so that's popular up here in Butler. But you're right, the oldies I don't think will ever die. And I'm kind of fond and have become fonder because of my relationship with Bill Reichert of the doo-wop era.
So are there three or four songs that you always get a request for when you're doing your all-request oldies dance show? Is it always up on the roof or,
No, it's
under the boardwalk or something like that?
Yeah, we get that. It's kind of a mix, believe it or not. We get we do have a group of people that love the disco era, in the 70s, and we'll get a whole list of songs to play, a lot of Bee Gees.
Get out your polyester suit,
yeah,
and your disco ball, huh?
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Well, the Bee Gees, they turned out a lot of stuff in the relatively short time that they were together.
But it's I'm surprised because it's a mix of music. And my favorite thing is when somebody comes up to me and it's almost like playing Stump the DJ. they'll come up with something, you know, just totally off the wall, and they don't have a clue who recorded it.
Hmm.
But they have the name of the song. And I do my best to find it. And if I have it, I'll play it, no matter how obscure it is. I've got a pretty decent collection of records.
You must have quite a load of CDs to carry in whenever you're doing a show somewhere.
Three cases, and I line them up on my table, and I got everything organized, so it doesn't really take me all that long to find a particular song, you know, that they want. And then I have a system where I line them up on my table and just play them all night long.
Hmm. I would imagine that people sing along, like you see on the, you know, those classic oldies shows on TV on PBS Channel 13. When I show the audience, they're always singing along with the songs.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. You know, that I talked to somebody about that, and I think I still find that fascinating, that most of us don't remember what we ate for breakfast. But, man, we know the lyrics to those songs mm-hmm. from back in the 60s.
You can sing Duke of Earl at the drop of a hat. Huh?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll tell you, Bill and I saw a great show in Pittsburgh with a guy by the name of Henry DeLuca produced it. It's called The Roots of Rock and Roll. And we saw Little Anthony and the Imperials and the Shirelles. And, man, that was like... I could have listened to that like for another 4 hours, and not been bored.
Smiling from ear to ear, most folks are, and this is an opportunity to not only request any of your favorites, but also to dance the night away to them.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, absolutely. We love to see that dance floor filled, and we, like I said, we encourage people to right from the start. You know, there's no like, okay, now you can dance, folks. You want to come in and dance while I'm doing a sound check? Go to it.
Remember the old seventh grade record hops where, you know, all of the girls would be lined up on one side of the gym
mm-hmm.
and all of the boys on the other side?
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
The guys would have to screw up all their courage. To walk over and, you know, ask someone to dance. But they always had the, at least, I don't know, at my school, they always had the ladies' choice every once in a while.
Yeah, but I'll tell you.
Which back in those days was, pretty unusual.
A buddy of mine in high school, actually, I think this was in junior high, he made an interesting comment. He said, you know, if you spot a really pretty girl across the gym, he's... go ask her to dance. And so, I'm afraid to do that, you know, because we're all afraid of rejection, you know, in that situation. And he said, but think about it. Nobody will ask her to dance because they're all afraid of being turned down. So I used to do that. I'd go over to the prettiest girl, and I'd ask her to dance. Sometimes she said no. And sometimes I got a dance out of the whole thing.
And what's the worst thing that can happen after all? She says no.
You said no.
So big deal.
Exactly
life, go,
right.
life goes on.
Yeah,
huh?
But those were the good old days.
They still have dances in high schools? Do you know? I have no idea.
Well, when I went to high school, they did.
Well, I mean, yeah, but now, I'm talking about today.
I don't think as much.
What are they missing? They're missing out on the you know, the homecoming dance and all that stuff.
Well, they got
yeah.
you know, but that's like, what's that, once a year? So... I don't know. I don't think high school dances are what they used to be. You know, the like the homecoming dance, I think those are always popular.
These kids these days, they don't know what they're missing, you know?
That's, well, and you know, I'll tell you though, you know that you feel old, that you've reached a certain point in your life and your career, and you can relate to this. When you watch the Grammys... and you don't have a clue who these people are.
To that point, I don't watch them anymore because
I
have no connection to the Grammys.
Very true.
The Mr. 60s, a rock and roll all-request oldies dance show. with Mr. 60's Ron Marowich. You can hear him on WISR here every Saturday morning. But you can see him and talk to him and request from him and dance to his music. Week from Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday of next weekend. Saturday, September 14th at Tanglewood, just off Hanson Avenue here in Butler. And what's the time and ticket information again,
let's
Ron?
Let's see. You got the doors open up at 6, and the buffet dinner is at 7.
Full buffet dinner.
A full buffet dinner, and by the incredible Chef George. And the show starts at 8, and it'll go till about 10:30. That's when they, they kind of get a little tired out, and they start heading for the door. And that's okay. And you can mention my name. It won't save you a penny. But it's $20. And in these days, where can you go for $20 and get a full buffet dinner and dance the night away?
Not too many places.
No, that is the truth. And I look forward to seeing everybody.
Good to see you, Ron. Thanks for stopping in today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
We'll be listening on Saturday morning here on WISR.
I'll be here.
More to come. We need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get an update on this. There's a proposal for a new trade agreement involving the United States, Mexico, and Canada. It would replace NAFTA. That was the old one, the North American Free Trade Agreement. So we'll talk about that. We'll get an update on that from Joe Crowley. He'll be with us. He's down in Butler. We'll be talking with him on the telephone. That'll be coming up here on It's Your Turn on WISR in just a moment. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Going to be talking listeners on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey. We have another guest joining us by telephone today. He's Joe Crowley, honorary co-chair of the PASS USMCA Coalition. We're going to be talking about the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. First of all, Joe, welcome. Nice to be able to talk with you for a few minutes here today.
Thank you, Dave, very much. Great to be with you and your listeners.
Make sure that all of our listeners are on the same page. So what is the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement? Can you describe that in a nutshell?
In a nutshell, the USMCA, or the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement, is a replacement for the trade agreement known as NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. It's an agreement that's been worked out between the United States, Mexico, and Canada, our two largest trading partners and our two closest neighbors and allies.
And is it possible that this could come up for a vote in the near future, or is that what you're lobbying for?
Well, that's what I'm hopeful for. I'm not necessarily lobbying per se, but hoping that the Congress will take this up. I think it's worthy of the passage of the House and the Senate, and to be ratified into law. As I said, these are our two largest trading partners. They're our two closest neighbors and allies. And there is relative balance within North America when it comes to the issue of trade. But, David, what this does is opens up an opportunity for American workers, and particularly American farmers, to export, for instance, to Canada, for the first time in many years, the ability to in dairy, to export to Canada. and for eggs, for cheese, and for milk and other dairy products that have been prohibited in the past. So for American auto workers, this is a win. It will require that through the rules of origin that 75% of those autos and parts are derived from here in North America to help keep America at the forefront of car development in the world.
NAFTA stood for the North American Free Trade Agreement. What happened to that? How come we don't have that anymore, Joe?
Well, it's still there. It's still in place, and it's about 25 years old. It's arcane. It's outdated. You know, I think of just the Internet itself wasn't really operating the way in which it is today. Cell phones were not really in existence in the way they are today. So much has changed since then and really deserved to be updated. I would not have voted for that had I been in the House at the time. I don't think it was a great agreement. I think America saw a lot of job loss. And I think this will increase a job opportunity. We'll see almost 6% growth in exports to Canada and almost a 7% growth in exports to Mexico. And that's good for small businesses. It's good for our farmers, as I said. And it's good for the auto industry. And I think overall, it's good for America. See a growth in GDP of up to $70 billion a year if this agreement is entered into.
There were some positive gains under NAFTA, though. Will those be maintained?
Well, I think overall what we're seeing is improvements to NAFTA. It's not actually taking away, obliterating the gains that were made in NAFTA. But in terms of workers' rights and the environment and enforcement and for IP protection, this is a better agreement and one that is, I think is more advantageous to the United States. Listen, at the end of the day, these agreements, they're the multilateral, they're bilateral, multilateral in nature. There's some wins and some loses, but I think overall, I think this is a good agreement. As someone who does not have a 100% support of all agreements, I was had a mixed record on trade agreements, but I think this one is worthy of our support.
What about American auto workers? I had a vehicle that I purchased, not my current one, but a previous one, that turned out was mostly made in Mexico. Will this new agreement, if it's approved, affect American auto workers in any way?
Well, it's projected that American auto workers would see about 75,000 new jobs over the next 5 years created with the passage of this agreement. As I said before, the rules of origin require that 75% of all parts and creation of autos would have to take place here in North America, helping both Canada, Mexico, and especially the United States in terms of maintaining our leadership in terms of auto creation in the world today. So I think this is it's a much better agreement than NAFTA was for our auto workers, and one that I think, as I said before, is deserving of not only the auto worker industry, but of more importantly, the American Congress.
Joe Crowley is honorary co-chair of the PASS USMCA Coalition. Mm-hmm. He served as a member of Congress representing New York State for about 20 years or so. And you were chair of the House Democratic Caucus at one point.
I was.
Is this measure have bipartisan support, Joe, or no?
It has bipartisan support. I think that Speaker Pelosi is doing her due diligence and allowing for her caucus to weigh in. This agreement was entered into by the administration without Democratic input, and I think she's negotiating with the trade ambassador Lighthizer to put more elements that are important to Democratic members of Congress. I think that Ambassador Lighthizer and the Democratic leadership and the House caucus, the Democratic caucus, will come to some agreement.
Do you think the current trade war with China will have any effect one way or another on the passage of this agreement?
Well, I do think, especially as it pertains to our farmers, who I applaud as incredibly patriotic men and women who are suffering right now, I think they're willing to sacrifice if they know what the end game is, and I don't think anyone knows what that end game is with the administration. But certainly passage of a trade agreement with, as I said before, our closest allies and our strongest trading partners would send a very clear message, especially for our farmers, that we understand that you're going through difficult times and that this is going to be a boost to you.
When is the earliest that members of Congress could vote on this? Are they back from summer recess yet?
Well, they'll be coming back next week from summer from the summer work period, and I think they'll be hitting the ground running on a number of issues, and I think this will be one of them, because I think the closer you get to the election year, the more difficult it is to do, you know, sometimes more difficult political legislation. I think this is going to take some political will and courage on all sides to get done.
One final question, Joe Crowley. Where can we go to get more information on this issue?
Your listeners can go to passusmca.org, and they'll get more detailed information on the agreement itself and why it's worthy of passage.
Thank you, Joe Crowley. Nice to talk with you today, sir.
Thank you, Dave.
Sure. So long.
In 2019, Tri-River celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tom Mazzanegro, known by many as Dr. Muzzy, and I'm an orthopedic hip and knee surgeon. Patients do best when they are engaged with the process, educated, and invested in their own well-being. At Tri-Rivers, the patient is at the center of everything we do.
To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Preparation for fall has already started, and Osterling's Lawn and Garden has all the tools and items you'll need to keep checking the boxes off your to-do lists. They have pruning tools, rakes, bulb planters, and fall planting onions. Even fall flower bulbs will be arriving this month. They'll have tulips, irises, crocus, and more. Make sure to grab heavy trash bags for all your leaves and yard waste. It's also canning time at Osterling's Lawn and Garden. There are plenty of cabbage cutters, apple pickers, and canning salt. Get prepared for fall with Osterling's Lawn and Garden.
Welcome back, good friends. Before we get started on our next segment, I wanted to take a moment and remind you that it's hard to believe, but here we are, almost a week into September already. Holidays are just around the corner, and if you're thinking about getting away for a day or two, or maybe even longer over the holidays, there are some great ideas from Butler Motor Tours. How about, for example, a trip to Bethlehem, PA? You know where that is? Eastern part of the state? Yeah, that's kind of nice to go to Bethlehem at Christmas time. They have a 3-day trip, December 4th through the 6th. You not only stop at Bethlehem Christmas City, USA, but you go on to New York City to see the Christmas show of the Rockettes at Radio City Music Hall. And there's a stop at a Christmas market, too, on the way back through Bethlehem. Kind of nice. December 4th through 6th. And there are some other great holiday ideas, too. And they've got one more trip to see the live stage play at the Millennium Theater in Lancaster, PA. They've been doing biblical epics there for many, many years. And the show this year, this spring and summer, has been Jesus. And it's still on. And they're taking a 2-day trip out there, October 3rd and 4th. Check online at butlerbus.com. Butler Motor Tours, South Monroe Street in Butler. All the details on their various trips, the dates, the cost, the itinerary, all that. Online at butlerbus.com. Well, we're going to be talking about an interesting program that I want to find out more about, the Junior Master Gardeners Program at Butler Catholic School. And here to fill us in on all of that is, first of all, Master Gardener Justine Brown. Justine, it is always good to see you.
It's good to be here, Dave. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and also visiting with us is Kathy Dudley. Kathy is the Director of Project Development at Butler Catholic School. Do I have that correct, Kathy?
You do. I'm involved in a lot of different projects there, so it's a great title to use.
Well, I understand there's a great garden project there. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit for
us. I would love to. So a couple of years ago, we had this idea. We have a great back area of our school property that really wasn't being utilized at all. And I had this idea to help bring gardening and growing and learning about plants and sustainability and all of that to our students. So we were very fortunate to have one of our alumni, Justin Higgins, provide the first 4 raised garden beds for that area as his Eagle Scout project. And since then, the garden literally has just blossomed. We have been able to double the amount of garden beds. We've added a pollinator garden. We have a lot of things coming up in the future. And last year we have, I think, 40 or 45 students involved in the garden club, and those are grades three and four.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of students that really jumped on board and are having a great time with it.
Now, a lot of folks will have driven by or drive by Butler Catholic School. There's a big athletic yard there, then there's a parking lot with the gym, and then there's the front of the school. So you're talking about behind the building?
So keep going up the hill. Yep, if you're on East Locust Street, keep going up the hill, and on your right-hand side, you'll see in the back there's a little back parking lot. And then the school garden area is back there.
Can you see it from Locust Street?
You can.
Look down in there?
You can, absolutely.
Yeah. And you have had third and fourth graders involved in this?
Third and fourth graders. It's a great club for them. You know, there's so many opportunities, I feel, available for the older students. And Sister Johnian really wanted us to be able to nurture the younger students and give them something of their own.
Mm-hmm.
So we started with third graders. And it's amazing to me how excited they are, how involved they are, and how much they've been learning. They take the information they learn, and they've gone home. They've started their own gardens at their house. They've pressured their parents into building them garden beds. It's really wonderful to see how far it's come.
Justine, you can't start too early in getting kids interested in gardening.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really wonderful to see these kids be so excited after school. You know, I was dead after school, even in third grade. But these kids come in and they're excited. We usually have a little snack for them because they're always hungry.
Mm-hmm.
But then we usually do a lesson. If the weather's good, we go out to the garden. But they're excited to be there, and they're excited to take that information home.
So this is an after-school activity for the students
involved? It is an after-school activity. They mm-hmm. meet every 2 weeks. The third grade will meet the second and fourth Wednesdays of the month, and this year the fourth and fifth grade will meet the first and third Wednesdays of the month
mm-hmm.
For about an hour and 15 minutes. But that's plenty of time for us to do a lesson and a couple of activities and get them excited about gardening.
Do you have help in leading this class?
Oh, yes. Kathy's usually there, which she's a tremendous help. But there's also some of the grandmothers. One of the other grandmothers, Mary Ellen Walter, is a master gardener with me. And one of her grandchildren was in the third grade last year. Christine Swift's mother, Mary Sibenak, who's also a retired teacher. She's not a master gardener, but a retired teacher. So she's there for crowd control and just to help with the activities and snacks. So I really couldn't do it without their support and the support of the parents.
So important, isn't it, Kathy, to have help from parents or in some cases grandparents to get our kids through elementary school? It means so much.
Oh, it is. You know, we talk about it takes a village to raise a child, and it's so true. And we try to foster that as much as we can at school. So the fact that we were able to have these grandparents volunteer on their own, you know, we did not even have to really ask. They just said, what can I do to help? And I think they're having a great time with it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Did you start at a very young age, Justine, being interested in gardening?
You know, every year, this is my 19th year as a master gardener, and most of those years, one of the things that I do as being a master gardener is help to do the interviews for the incoming class.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so we always ask, you know, what was your interest in gardening? Well, it's always my mother, my grandmother, my family had gardens, and that's where I learned. And that's where I learned. I used to pick pansies with my grandmother, who raised, remember yews that used to be real popular as a shrub in the 1950s?
Yews, like
Japanese
what?
Yew.
Japanese yews. Yes. They're a hedge. They were put in front of every house that was built in 1950.
Y-E-W-S, is that what
yes.
you're talking about?
Yes.
Yews.
But she would raise those in boxwood and other vegetables and would sell them to help get her five daughters through college. And so, you know, it's just in our blood, I guess.
Sort of second nature.
It is.
Mm.
It is.
I smiled when you mentioned you had a grandmother who was involved. I was very fortunate at a young age, for a while at least, to have my great-grandfather.
Oh, wow.
Who was still around. He was obviously quite elderly, but he had been a backyard gardener all of his life. He was living with my parents at that time, so I was around when I was a little tyke, and I used to go out with him to weed the garden.
Of course.
A never-ending chore.
Yeah, never-ending, and God bless him. He He had some mobility problems, and he had a little wooden box that he would sit on to hoe the weeds out of the garden, and I would sit right there with him. I can remember that fondly. It's pretty vivid, even though I was just a little kid.
You know, wonderful memories. You know, just making that connection with the kids and doing something fun, even if it is weeding, you know, like or picking green beans or pansies or whatever. Good memories with the kids.
But hey, they're learning. Maybe without even knowing it, Kathy, they're learning about science and stuff.
Absolutely. I agree with that completely. I think they don't realize how much they're learning, but they're going to be able to take this with them through the rest of their life. You know, yesterday was our first garden club meeting, and we had the students out there digging potatoes and harvesting the pumpkins, and we had peppers and several things that needed picked, needed harvested. And the energy and the enthusiasm out there was just immeasurable. We just sort of stood back and watched them. Mm. It's really invigorating for us, I think, too, as leaders to sort of capture that energy and see what they're taking in.
And this is a classic real-life example of how you don't need a five-acre backyard to do gardening. You can use these raised beds just about anywhere where you have a little space.
Raised beds or containers, you know, you don't, you know, we always think of a garden as, you know, 20 by 40 plot of land, but you really don't. And it's amazing the amount of produce that the kids have gotten out of the 8 raised beds that we have this year. It's just amazing. And the kids love it. You know, like they want to taste everything. They want to touch everything. And so it's really quite fun.
So the question arises, how did you take care of these gardens during the summertime, during the growing season, whenever the kids were not in school?
Right, because gardening is essentially a summer activity, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're very fortunate. At the end of the school year, we make a list, and we have those garden club families sign up and take turns. They come in. We have 2 families every week that have signed up that will come in and water and weed and pick whatever is ready. They help us take the produce that we harvest in the summer down to St. Vincent de Paul. We do that to support the food bank and give back to community. And it is always amazing to me at how fast all of those slots are taken. You do not have to ask twice for them to sign up and help.
And you do have to weed and water throughout the summer.
Yeah. This year we were pretty lucky, especially at the very beginning when we put in the pollinator garden end of May, beginning of June. You know, we had all of that rain, and the drainage up there is wonderful. So that garden is extremely lush and growing. And part of it is because of the weather we had in June.
Yeah, it really gave everything a really good start. As much as we don't like all that rain after rain after rain, to just have those new plants out there. And, it, you know, the students were so excited to come back and see how much everything grew so quickly.
Mm-hmm. We'll take a quick break. We'll continue our conversation. It's a really neat program, Junior Master Gardeners at Butler Catholic School. You mentioned the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, Kathy. We would want to give them the opportunity to pass out a big thank you to so many people and organizations and companies who participated in the FFA and 4-H Junior Livestock Sale at the farm show. It was about a month ago. It was in early August. And once again, as has happened for many, many years now, there were lots of folks who successfully bid on animals, had them processed, and then donated the meat to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank.
Wasn't that nice?
And, I mean, you can imagine how great that is for needy families who rely on the food bank to be able to get this. So the folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler wanted us to pass on a big thank you to all the folks who participated in that way and the companies and the organizations. Thanks a lot. It was really appreciated. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler, they like to say we stand tallest when we stoop to help others. It's a wonderful thought. Hey, a quick message, and we'll be back with more with Kathy and with Justine in just a moment here on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. I'll be right back.
Medical marijuana is legal in Pennsylvania for anxiety and anxiety disorders, such as panic attacks, nervous tics, and obsessive compulsive disorder. Go to cccregister.com or call 888-316-9085 to get your medical card today at Compassionate Certification Centers. That's 888-316-9085. Look for the flag or log on to cccregister.com and pre-screen for medical marijuana. Call 888-316-9085 and get answers to your medical marijuana questions today.
Do you love home cooking? Me too. And that's what Michael's Restaurant specializes in. From homemade soups to daily lunch and dinner specials and the legendary desserts. Every Friday night, Michael's features prime rib and crab legs for you to enjoy. Hungry for Italian food? Try Michael's Diablo pasta or seafood scampi. Michael's Restaurant, Newcastle Road.
Welcome back, good friends. We're talking about a program that I was not aware of. I was chatting with Justine about the Junior Master Gardener program, which has been started at Butler Catholic School. And this is still relatively new, right, Justine?
It is. There are a lot of Junior Master Gardener programs around the country, but in the state of Pennsylvania, we are one of the only ones in this area that have a certified Junior Master Gardener program. Whenever Kathy approached me about helping with the garden, being a master gardener and being an educator, I was interested in possibly looking into having these kids certified and what curriculum to use. The best curriculum out there seems to be Texas A&M University. And they have worked very hard at developing this curriculum. It's all research-based. They've spent a lot of time and effort. As a matter of fact, I met the woman in Valley Forge this year who was instrumental in writing this curriculum at the International Master Gardener Conference. So Kathy made sure that we were all on board and that the kids were all registered. She did that part of it, and I'm the one who really teaches the curriculum.
We wanted to point out that this is a step above. You know, there were a lot of us even way back when who, you know, you planted a seed in, you know, science class or biology class or something, or maybe your teacher took you outside and you, you know, planted some stuff. But kind of informally, this is a certified program where kids can be certified as junior master gardeners.
Yeah, they are. All of our kids that were involved in the program last year are certified master gardeners. So this year we're going to certify the next group of third graders. Mm-hmm. But there are specific areas that they have to study. You know, not only the parts of the plant, but the soil and the water, and they need to talk about ecology and recycling and insects and diseases and planting a garden and designing a garden. And then there are things like fruits and nuts and vegetables and herbs, and then there are some life skills things, too, that we talk about.
Some people might think that elementary school kids, primary school kids are too young for this. Au contraire, they're sponges at that age, aren't they? They soak up information.
They absolutely do. They want to take their, they actually have a guidebook, a handbook that we use as their textbook, so to speak. And it's amazing to me, even while we're teaching them one thing, they'll be flipping through, they'll be trying to see what else there is going on. Can we do this activity? Can we do that? They just want to do as much as they can, which is fabulous.
Mm-hmm. So this is, even though this is, this curriculum was developed at Texas A&M. It's analogous, it would appear, to the Penn State Master Gardener program that you and your other Master Gardeners have gone through here, which is very, very rigorous. It's all science-based.
It's all research-based, just like all of the information at Penn State. Every state has a Master Gardener program. So Texas A&M is the state and the university that really has worked to develop a junior program, and that's the one that's used throughout the country.
Somehow when I think of Texas and gardening, I just think of like 8 miles of wheat where you plant it and that's it. You don't do anything else. I don't think of that, you know, that many vegetables and stuff being grown in Texas. I guess I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think there are lots of areas of Texas where, and a lot of schools in Texas have used this program. So there are other areas where there is more home horticulture done. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what this is.
Now, I guess it's not all just vegetables that I hear you say you planted a pollinator garden?
We planted, you know, right now the big thing is pollinators and keeping the monarchs going and all the pollinators with the collapse of a lot of the bee colonies and stuff. The in thing to do right now is to plant a pollinator garden. So Kathy very diligently researched what plants were great pollinators, and the kids planted those, a variety. We had 10 or 12 different kinds of pollinator plants that the kids planted. We planted 160 feet of pollinator garden along that back fence. And when we planted them, there were these tiny little plants that, how many of each did we have? I don't remember.
We probably had between 10 and 20 of each type.
And they have just blossomed into this beautiful flower garden.
It is. It's a very lush area. And it's amazing to go out there, even in its first year. You know, we expected this to take a couple of years to really take hold.
Mm-hmm.
But due to the great rain that we had in the spring, everything really rooted in nicely. And to go out there now and see the number of different varieties of bees and butterflies and to find monarch caterpillars, it's really come full circle in just a short amount of time.
Are some pollinator plants perennials? They come up again next
all
year?
All of these are perennials.
Oh, so you don't have to plant them again, huh?
Right. Oh. Technically, we shouldn't have to. You know, there's always that plant or two that choose not to come up again for whatever the reason.
Yeah.
But basically, this is established, so it'll just take a little amending every year.
It will, and hopefully in a year or two, we'll actually start dividing those pollinator plants and offering them as a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
That the plants have come from Butler Catholic, and we'll be able to continue that cycle.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Exactly.
Yeah. For those of us who are not master gardeners, explain in a nutshell why pollinators are so important. We would not get our fruits and vegetable harvest if we didn't have pollinators, right?
Exactly. And with the collapse of the bee colonies and the reduction, people are using so many pesticides that a lot of the pollinators are dying. So it's important that we keep those pollinators alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things I think that Justine has been really good at was introducing pollinators to our students. And for instance, we had Terry Shaner come in, who is a great local beekeeper, and told the kids all about the bees. Well, they were so interested in that, and they really took to it, that the school actually now owns a hive of bees. We have a hive of honeybees, not on our school property, but one of the parents has them at their house. So we've already harvested fresh local honey, and they're really learning about that. I think they're excited to see the bees up close.
Yeah, they are. And the caterpillars.
And the caterpillars.
About a month ago, no, maybe 3 weeks, one of my friends and I went over because Kathy said there were some caterpillars on the milkweed. So we went over and we got maybe 13 caterpillars that we're raising at my house now.
They're a little incubator house,
yeah,
over there.
And
so the birds don't eat them.
Yesterday, Mary Ellen picked 4 more caterpillars. So we're going to be raising those. And one of the other master gardeners, Mary Alice Konecki, is she and her friend are tagging them. And we're going to bring them into the school and have the kids see how Mary Alice and Glenn tag these butterflies, these monarchs, and they'll be tracked on their migration to Mexico. So that's like the closure piece for raising these monarchs, which I think is an exciting part of it.
Kids will be anxious to learn about that. Yeah. So there are specific plants or flowers that tend to attract bees and butterflies more than other plants and flowers?
Every insect has a plant that they like the best. And monarchs have a tendency to love the milkweed. So if you find milkweed plants, you're going to find eggs and caterpillars and on them, possibly, at this time of the year.
And I would say this year, it seems like locally here in the Butler area that the monarchs have a really strong presence. We've mm-hmm. found, even alongside the road, stopping to look at milkweed, that there's caterpillars on there, which is really wonderful to see, and I hope that continues. Mm-hmm. Going forward.
Ugly caterpillars that turn into beautiful monarch butterflies.
That's right.
Actually, the caterpillars, although I don't like to touch them, they really are kind of pretty because they're sort of black and gold.
And with a little bit of green, that stripe on them. The kids really took to them right away. I think they would take them home as pets if they could.
Yeah.
Hey, kids take the caterpillars.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
They can have them, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't really like to touch them.
Or we could give them to Justine, the foster parent of caterpillars right now.
Yes.
So the kids are working on this. They were already harvesting some of the stuff that developed this summer. Can you use this space to actually hold class out there once in a while, Kathy?
You know, one of the really, really most exciting parts of the school garden this year is the addition of our outdoor classroom. We have an old patio back there that whenever there was a convent there at school, the nuns would use that for their laundry area or a sitting area. Well, it's been unused for years and years. So we actually renovated that entire area this summer thanks to a grant from the Butler Garden Club. They were very supportive as well. And so we renovated that area. There are tables and umbrellas out there. There are planter boxes. It's really a great outside classroom for not only for our school garden students, but for the students throughout the school day. Any teacher in the school can sign that classroom out and use it as regular space. Which is nice to see. And there's still more space out there. We have expansion plans over the next year. We're going to be adding an entire fruit grove with apple trees and blueberry bushes and raspberry bushes to sort of introduce that concept to the students as well.
You're going to have a regular arboretum out there. Huh?
We're going to have a Butler Catholic farm by the time we're done.
Well, I don't know. If those pollinators keep expanding like they are, they may take over the world there.
I'm kind of waiting for the students to ask when we can get chickens.
She has great plans for the future. Justine puts her hand to her forehead.
I don't do chickens. That was one thing my grandmother raised, too, and I refuse to get those eggs out of there. I can't do that.
So do kids at school, obviously you can't take everybody. Do they sign up for this? Is there a screening process for kids who... Yeah, I want to try to become a certified junior master gardener.
You know, we're very fortunate that if you are in third grade, fourth grade, and now fifth grade, if you want to be in the garden club, you are in. We are welcoming all the students. I think last year we had 30-some students in third grade, and almost 30 of those were in the garden club. And it's something that just keeps going.
And the master gardeners are supporting them. We bought their journals last year, and they're going to be buying they've bought the journals for this year. So... and some other assorted things that they need throughout the year.
Definitely helps to keep the cost down, so we're able to provide some opportunities. So we're grateful for the Master Gardeners, not only for their personnel support, but also for their financial support to let us do all of this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's nice for kids, and I'm sure you're talking about this too, how you can do gardening organically. You don't need to use a lot of chemicals and stuff like that because people are becoming more and more aware of the potential dangers there.
Right, and I think they see that with the gardens and the things that they've planted and how well it's done without using any chemicals and the produce that they've gotten. It was amazing yesterday.
It is. In fact, one of those students, they were asking, every time we have a meeting, they always ask, can we eat something? Like, can we just try this while we're out here? And it's so refreshing to be able to say, absolutely, go ahead. There's nothing on this. Mm-hmm. You can feel free to just eat it right now.
Don't have to wash the chemicals off.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
A couple of cherry tomatoes. Might be hard to keep those on the vine, huh?
Oh, we had a lot of
cherry. That's
what
they wanted to eat yesterday, all the cherry tomatoes.
Now, I can remember from my youth watching my father and grandfather plant pumpkins in the late spring, early summer. And, of course, you wouldn't harvest those until almost Halloween time. Did you plant any pumpkins? Are there going to be any homemade jack-o'-lanterns there?
Well, we did plant pumpkins, but we planted pie pumpkins. That already, we just harvested them yesterday. So we'll be actually working with the students to cook that pumpkin down and make fresh pumpkin cookies or cupcakes or something along those lines so that they can enjoy the fruits of their labor.
Pumpkin spice, that's the big thing these days.
It
you know?
Is.
It's never too early to get pumpkin.
You could make pumpkin spice milk maybe for the cafeteria.
That would go over.
This is, and we're going to be doing a program on this in a few weeks, but I did want to mention while Kathy's here, this is a big year for Butler Catholic School, right?
It is. We are so excited that it is the 50th anniversary of Butler Catholic School. We are the oldest consolidated school in the diocese. You know, so right now it's the trend. It's the way things are going. Catholic schools are being combined together with multiple parishes supporting one school. And we are proud to say that we were the model for that. back in the 1960s, the three G's, we call them, the three pastors at St. Michael's, St. Peter, and St. Paul's, got together and agreed that for a stronger school future, they were going to merge their schools and all three churches support one school. So that was 50 years ago, and we're still here thriving today, and we're ready to celebrate that.
And it is thriving, isn't it? Strong school?
It is. Strong school. Enrollment is up. We've got a lot of growth going on right now, expansion plans for the future, to make sure that we are ready for the next 50 years at least of educating students here in Butler.
Mm-hmm. And the seeds have been sown for Butler Catholic School Farm and Arboretum, as it will grow bigger and bigger over the coming years. And we'll be certifying more and more of these junior master gardeners, Justine.
Yes, I'm so excited about that because at least, and it does, it plants a seed and it gets them excited and they'll be able to carry this, as Kathy said, into their future. And
that's a great program. Thanks for coming in and sharing the information with
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having us.
It's good. Justine Brown, Master Gardener Without Peer, visiting with us here today. You are. You know everything about gardening. You
no, really do. I don't know any. No, I don't. But I can always look it up.
That's what matters, right? If you don't know, you'll find out.
That's right.
Also visiting with us, Kathy Dudley, who's the Director of Project Development at Butler Catholic School. Nice to have you here.
Great. Thank you so much for having us today.
Oh, sure. We thank our earlier guests as well, Joe Criley, who filled us in on the latest in the U.S.-Mexico-Canada pending trade agreement to replace NAFTA. And also thanks to Ron Marowitz, Mr. 60s, who visited with us earlier on the program today. Enjoy this marvelous weather. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'm Dave Malarkey. Hope to see you tomorrow for the Friday edition of It's Your Turn at 12:30 tomorrow afternoon.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Stops here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical. Just hop the bus. No car, no problem. The bus will get you there. 'Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.